going to just say a prayer. Lord, I just thank you, Lord, that you are a good God. I thank you, Lord, that the same God that was in that stadium yesterday, that was anointing us and empowering us, is here this morning, God. And you have something you want to say to each life here, oh God. I ask that you would speak to hearts. I'd ask that you would comfort hearts. I ask that you would quicken hearts. And Father God, that you would just take this message, Lord, and that you would just show us all what you're saying to us personally. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And everybody said, amen. This is an interactive church. But as you look at this dot-to-dot page, I'm just going to tell you a little bit of the background on it. I think Nikki will remember. Because I was actually, in the beginning of the year, I know those that were at that prayer meeting in the beginning of January. Do you remember where we had that time together? And we had 3 days. We prayed 3 days at the afternoon hour and then on Wednesday night. It was very powerful. And I remember one afternoon as we were praying that I was just, as we were mentioning all the different aspects of the ministry of the church, as someone who is kind of a behind-the-scenes person thinking of all the logistics of things that had to happen, all the dates that had to be planned on the calendar, all the things that needed, advertisement, social media, prayer, connections, unity, I honestly started getting overwhelmed. Now, the object of the prayer was to take everything and lay it before the Lord and to feel unburdened. But just then, I started to feel like, God, how are you going to work in our youth, our children, and the women, the men, Lord? What should we do with the membership class? What should we do with our services? And just then, I love when the Lord breaks through, but I just saw a picture in my mind of a dot to dot. The Lord often does this to me. I think because I'm a little dense, so I need to see pictures. I think I have ADD sometime. I don't know. I can only process so much. But I saw a picture in my mind of one of these like dots to dot when we were a child. And we used to do that in the books, and it used to be fun because we didn't know what was going to come out. Sometimes you could tell on the simple one. But the harder ones, it was really harder to tell. And I felt like the Holy Spirit said to me, just trust me. All of these things are connected. You can't see. But all you need to do is follow the next step. Follow the next dot. Don't think about all the aspects of what has to happen with the building fund, the property, the logistics. How is God going to do? What are we going to do for Easter? I want you to just follow me. Take it dot by dot. And I can honestly tell you, I felt such a relief that I was able to pray in the Holy Spirit. And I said, Lord, just enlighten the next step. Just show me the next step. And you know, in Psalm 119, verse 105, I love this verse. It's one of my life verses. Is your word, oh God, this word, his logos and his rhema word, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And as I was seeing this message develop, I started to think about that, and I did a little research, and you were like, oh, cool. You know, God's light, love and his direction, his word, it's going to light my whole path. But you know, in the Bible times, at this time in Psalm 119, that the lamp was a very small little thing. It was almost like a flattened teapot. And what it would do is it would light up the next step. The next step. It didn't light the whole path. It lit the one step at a time. And that's all we have sometimes. But we have the promises of God. We have the faithfulness of God. We have the testimony of God that he has never failed. And so it started to get more and more aware in my heart. And this verse, Psalm 37:23, In the Amplified Version, it says it this way. The steps of a good and righteous man or woman are directed and established by the Lord. And he delights in his way and blesses his path. The steps of a good and righteous man or woman are directed and established by the Lord. And he delights in his way and blesses his path. Now, I admit to you, I'm not very good at this. I admit to you, I want to see many times, where are we going, Lord? I don't get this. God, this path doesn't seem, what I'm on right now doesn't seem to make any sense to me. Why am I learning this? Why am I doing this? Why am I going here? Why do you have me working here? Why do you have me speak to this person? Why do we live here? There are some times we're in such a confusion that we don't even understand where God is going. Sometimes I think we would like to see a blueprint. We would like to say, okay, like a blueprint, you know, here's where the bedrooms are, here's where the hallway is, here's the dining room area. This is what God's doing. I mean, we love to look and dream over the blueprints of our new church. We have some, by the way. You know, I was thinking of this. Did you ever see a model home center? In our neighborhood, they're building some model home center. And they put everything conceivable into that. Why? Because they want you to see the finished product. If you go on those empty lots and see pipes hanging up and coming up and wires and stuff, it is ugly. Go into a model center and they'll wow you. That's how we are. We're very visual. We're very controlling with our lives. We very much want to know where we're going. But God's word and God's plan and God's purpose is not like a blueprint. Someone has said this to me in my life, and it has made such a difference. I hope you'll get this word picture. God's will is not a blueprint. It's more like a scroll that unfolds little by little by little. That's what it's like following the Lord. And it's like this dot to dot. I don't know where it's going. I look at this, and later I'm going to ask you for some of your opinions, what this is. My son-in-law already gave me his opinion. And Chris, we had the same one. But it's like this dot to dot. In order to get to the next step, we got to take one at a time. But how many of you are like me, and sometimes we get so impatient, we get so frustrated. And at times we say, God, where is this going in our life? Even the difficult roads. I told you, it's like the GPS, and I always say this, that when I lived in New York, the Belt Parkway, whenever I saw directions going over the Belt Parkway, I used to get hives. I hated that road. But the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, if you want to get where you need to go, you've got to take that road. If we want to go where God is going, we have to follow his path. And he only gives us the next step. I could say, Pastor and I can really say that this is how it's been in our life. Sometimes we had no idea where we were going to be the next month, the next week, what we were going to do, how God was going to answer this, what was the step. And frankly, it surprised me many times, like this dot-to-dot wheel. But sometimes I get impatient, and now you could turn the page over. And for you who got impatient and turned it over, you already saw it. I take things in my own hands. You know, I thought, looking at this, well, 9, 10, and 18 would be perfect, wouldn't it? But look what it did. 27 and 28 seem to flow right into 32. That looks good to me. 60, 62, and 79 make a perfect path. God, let me help you out with this. Let me help you out. I know where to go, God. I know what to do. And how many of you can relate to that? Where you get impatient, and all of a sudden, it takes you off the path that God has for you. And then when you look at it, look at that. What a mess. What a mess. But I'm so grateful for the grace and mercy of God that helps us to say, get back in the path. Get back in the way you know you should go. Take the next step. I remember my husband said this to me one time. Actually, he preached this. And he said, whenever you're having trouble of hearing, maybe you're saying, God, I just feel like I can't hear you anymore. I don't know what you're saying. And there are times that God is quiet. There's times that he's silent because he's working behind the scene. But there's times in our lives when there's confusion. We don't know the next step to take. We don't know what to do. And it's because the last thing God told us to do, we're still fighting him on. Okay, I'm going to say that again. If we forget the last thing that God told us to do, or we don't want to do it, it takes us off the path. So to get back on the path, listen. Go back to that time when you were with the Lord and say, Lord, I trust you. I was frustrated with that road. I didn't know where it was going. I didn't know what I was going to do. As a matter of fact, when I looked at my friend, they have it. I could see where they're going. Their dot to dot looks great. Mine looks like a mess. We compare ourselves, our road, with others. We try to find answers. We try to do things in ourselves. And we say, God, let me help you out. But we get off the path, and many times we create a mess. But I challenge you, I challenge myself this morning to go back to where we had that intimacy with God. Then we were listening to his word. We were obeying his word. I forgot where it says in the scripture, but who's knocked you off the path? Actually, in Galatians 3, I'm studying that passage. There are times when we just start out in the spirit and then we end up all over the place in our flesh. What's our flesh? It's our own will, our own desire. We follow our own will. We follow our own desire. And it takes us somewhere where we wind up, how did I end up here, Lord? How did I end up here? But the loving mercy of the Lord. In Lamentations, it says his mercies are new every morning. Say, Lord, help me get back on the path you have chosen for me. You truly know the best. I don't. I thought I did. But Lord, help me. Help me and guide me and give me the courage and give me the strength and give me the patience. Even though where I am right now may be a hard place, even though I am right now may be a dark place, it may be a confusing place. I know that you said in your word, you will never leave me. You will never forsake me. So even where I'm at this place, it's not a cul-de-sac. It's not the end. God doesn't do random. Everything is working together for good to them that love the Lord. Hallelujah. I love that. God doesn't do random. God doesn't do random. Mark Battison said in his book, All In, most people in most churches think they are following Jesus, but I'm not so sure. They may think they are following Jesus, but the reality is this. They invited Jesus to follow them. I can relate to that. There are times I am so sure this is God. Come on, Lord, come along for the ride. But as we said many times, Jesus doesn't sit in the passenger seat. He takes the wheel. He knows the destination, and he knows where he's going. So even if we're at a point of our broken heart, there are times our hearts are broken. We're not fooling ourselves. As Christians, we go down some hard roads. Anybody who said anything different to you, I just want to point you to the word of God. That we go through some painful, difficult, hard experiences, hard roads. But God doesn't do random. All things are working together. As a matter of fact, I have this illustration but for later, but I'm going to say it right now because the Holy Spirit is quickening. Sometimes our lives are like a tapestry. And everyone loves to look at a tapestry. It's stunning. I love them. They look beautiful. You could see a beautiful picture of what the artist or the weaver wanted to show you. But turn it around. turn that tapestry around. It's a mess. It's a mess, right, Gloria? All kinds of knots and threads and different colors and dark threads and light threads and no sense on the other side. There's not even a bit of sense on the other side. I could never see what that picture is. But when God is working, He's the master weaver. As Pastor's been preaching here, He's the master designer. He doesn't do random. He's not just a cookie cutter God. You are special to Him, and He's working in your life, and He's got an individual, powerful plan that He is doing in your life and that He is working. Don't look at someone else. There are times I've done that, and I get confused and discouraged. I say, God, look at how far they've come. And me, I just feel like I'm on dot eight. But see, the master weaver is saying, you don't know. You don't know what I'm doing. I'm creating a masterpiece. And I want to say here, listen, if you've never accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, that's the first step. That's the first step to getting a design and a plan that's of God. If not, we have our own plans. I want God's plan. I want God's dot-to-dot path, tapestry for my life. When I decide to do it on my own, and guess what? The devil is very happy to come in there when we're working in our flesh, when we're working in our own nature, and push you on this path, push you on that path. This would be a masterpiece compared to what the enemy wants to do to your life. But in Jesus' name, we rebuke that. In Jesus' name, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we say no to the enemy. I will accept the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior and the plan and the purpose He has for my life. And even though it has taken me down some very difficult roads, I still know He is God. I still know He's on the throne. I still know that He cares. I still know that He's going somewhere with this. That familiar portion of scripture in Proverbs 3, 5 to 7, I love it in the message. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one that will keep you on track. Don't assume you know it all. Run to God and run from evil. You see, when we listen to God's voice, He keeps us on track. And when we cultivate prayer, we cultivate reading His word and spending intimate time with Him. Times like this too. Don't tell me that God doesn't speak to our hearts and move when we're in a corporate setting like this as well. When we're in prayer meeting on Wednesday night, when we're praying, or like even when this message was birthed in our little noon prayer meeting. God speaks. The Holy Spirit speaks. Just that place yesterday was vibrant with the Spirit of God. And even though there were thousands and thousands of people, God was speaking to me. He was speaking to all these precious people. How does the Holy Spirit do that? I don't know, but He does. So trust Him. Even if you're on a road that right now seems like a dead end, God is still working. There's no cul-de-sacs in God. Hallelujah. And if it's a wall in your way, I had this message once. You know, it says of Joseph, that Joseph, you know the trials Joseph went through. Do you know how difficult his life was? Do you know that he was betrayed by his brothers, sold as a slave, that he was put in prison, falsely accused, and that even when someone promised him that he was going to remember him to interpret dreams and do things, they forgot about him, but not Jesus Christ. I don't know who promised you what today. The Lord quickened this to my mind. I don't know who promised you what and disappointed you, but that's not Jesus. That's not the Lord. That's not the Lord. And you know what it says about that Jacob said about his son Joseph? I don't know the exact place, but it says Joseph was a fruitful vine whose boughs went over the wall. You may be smack. I'm not going to hit the pulpit. You may be smack in the middle of hitting a wall. But if Lord has led you there, oh, hallelujah. If the Lord has led you there, not my own stupidity, not my own selfishness, not my own way, not my own will, but if the Lord has led me where I see nothing but a wall, he still calls me a fruitful vine. And I can go over that wall. Hallelujah. I don't have to stay there. I can go over it. Hallelujah. Imagine that kind of vine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's something in this today for somebody who's been questioning. God, I think you've left me. I don't know where I am. Lord, I'm smacking a wall. But the Lord says, no. And I bring to mind again that passage where Jesus was in the boat with the disciples. And he had fallen asleep. And the storm, and I've heard this, that on the Sea of Galilee, the storm can just come up. We've been there. It's amazing. But out of nowhere, it could be still and calm, and you're floating along, and then all of a sudden, this horrible storm arises. That could be you today. And you're like, God, wake up. God, we're dying. The disciples, Lord, don't you know we're going to drown? What's going to happen here? And Jesus got up and he rebuked the winds and the waves. And he said, be still. He has that kind of power. I don't understand it. I don't know it. If I could, then I would be God. I am not God. And I think all of us need to repent and say, we are not God. I ask you, Lord, forgive me. Sometimes, ask my husband, the way I argue, you know, not fight, argue, my point. Intense conversation. Sometimes the way we have intense conversation, I feel I know it all. Anybody company with me? Anybody walk down the gate of honesty with me? The others of you who didn't tell the truth. Sometimes we could be so right or want to be right all the time that we're missing where God is molding us and forming us. As pastor's been praying, he's making a masterpiece. Yes, there's some very dark chords. There's some very dark rows, this congestion. It just seems like we're going nowhere. We're not making any headway, but our God is in control. And you know what the disciples forgot when Jesus was in the boat? What did they forget? Jesus was in the boat. The storm came up. They thought they were going to, what did he say? We're going to go over. We're going over. We're going over. Do we forget that? In the middle of the storm, I can't remember the things that God told me. The things that I know in the Holy Spirit are true about God. And Satan is all the more too quick to come and accuse God before us. Look where God led you. Look at your path. You trusted him and look where it is. But the Lord says, you're going over. You're a child of God. He's not doing random. These things are not by accident. God is working something for good. God is working something better. God is in control. Hallelujah. You're going over to the other side. And like Joseph, you're a fruitful vine going over the wall. God, no one could stop a man or woman that is in the purposes of God. No one. No devil in hell. No obstacle. No confusion. Nothing can come against the man or woman of God that has purposed in their heart to follow him. Hallelujah. 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 Now I want to show you the last page. This is what this looks like. Wait, one second. Does anybody have any ideas of what they think it is? Someone, be brave enough to tell me what you think. Grishka, you did it already? Oh, no, no, don't tell me. Only if you didn't do it. What did you think this was? And I thought you were listening to my message. Instead, you were doing the da-da-da. You have a lot of company, Rushka, so don't feel bad. Yeah, what do you think that is? But what it, very good, very good. But what did you think it was? I'll tell you what I thought it was when somebody brave enough tells me. What did you think that dot to dot, Jackie? Me too. Did you, Lourdes? Pastor thought it was somebody flying a kite. Say that again. Yes, yes, that's what it really is. But what did you think it was looking at a bunch of dots? I had no clue. Now we're going to see. Ta-da! Come back next week. Can we bring it down a little? There we go. Yeah, thank you, media team. Let's give them a hand. I had no clue that this was a dog in the corner. I had zero clue that that was a dog, not even a faint cry. I had no idea that was a pie. I thought, like my son-in-law, it was a bugle. You know, one of those long, like, army bugles at the end? And I thought this guy was a soldier with a soldier hat or something. A cook with a pie and a dog? Wow. The Lord says in Isaiah 55:8, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways." Because to us it may look confusing. It may look like the tapestry on the reverse side that nothing, you know, I mean, the enemy is never going to tell you anything good. So he's going to show you the knots and say, does this God really care about you? Does this God really love you? Does this God have a plan for your life? You better take control, baby. God bless you, T. But God is going somewhere. And the actual name of this message is Connecting the Dots. You really are going somewhere. Do it at home today. Or play that on somebody else. Say, what do you think this is? Hallelujah, that your thoughts are not our thoughts, Lord, and our ways are not your ways, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to close because, you know, we try to be very authentic about some of the things we go through in life, and you've heard me mention this testimony a little bit before, but I'm sharing it today to show you how even in a pastor's life, even in a leader's life, that there are so many threads and cords and roads that I don't understand. You know, some of you may look at us and say, oh, you know, Pastor, what would you know about pain? You know, you have a wonderful husband. Let me just say, I'm not glorifying what I've been through. But had it not been for the grace, the mercy, and the love of Jesus, I don't know where I would be today. But I was at one of those very frustrating points of my life. And there's something to be said here. The psalmist David always would, when he was at those places, think about all the testimonies, all the good things he'd already been through. I wasn't doing that at that point. I was serving God. My husband was on staff of a church, and I believe we were doing campus ministry at the same time and, you know, just hoping I was growing in the Lord. But there was something in me that just was very discontent. I was grumbling. I was complaining. Rather than thanking God for even anything he's done in my life, I always saw the thing that I felt I didn't have. I compared my dots to other people's. And it didn't make sense. Some people who had gotten saved way after us, were doing things that, you know, I wasn't doing that I wanted to do. I'm being authentic with you. It's not just about ministry. Wherever God has put you, there's a purpose. Believe me, believe me. So one day, as I've told you this many times before, but it is so real and so powerful that I want to, it so aptly describes this. I was sitting at a Feast of Tabernacles, and I was sitting next to my daughter, who was a teenager, and her friends, and I had invited a friend who comes, and I had been through those before. They're wonderful. I wasn't expecting anything except to be blessed and leave. Well, I could just tell you something. The Holy Spirit showed up. And have you ever heard someone describe this, that the weight of his glory, when it rests upon us, like, I can't even imagine what Isaiah went through in chapter 6, because just feeling the presence of God, like, I could almost literally feel, I was afraid to open my eyes. I was afraid to move, and all I could do was cry and cry and cry. Have any of you ever had a visitation like that? It literally was taking my breath away. I don't know what the people around me thought. I don't even know that I knew what was going on in the Feast of Tabernacles. All I know is that God had singled me out. Because see, it's easy to sing in church. Lord, where you lead me, I'll follow. I'm your servant. I love you, God. You know, I want to trust you. I believe you. It's even, you know, easy to tell someone else who's going through a trial. Oh, don't worry. God will work this out. But I was a brat. I was discontent. I was not satisfied with where I was in life. And, you know, I thought of a good way to resolve this discontentment. It's like if David would be a senior pastor, then I could do all the things in the ministry that I wanted to do. So this poor man, I love you so much. Really do. Sometimes when I... I literally had this picture in my mind. If he can be a senior pastor, and he'd say to me with like almost like a wounded, hurt feeling, he'd say to me, "Hun, I don't know how to tell you this, but God has called me to be faithful in the things he's called me. Right now, I don't have that desire or mantle to do that." And I would say, "But hun, you're serving people that was saved after you, and that don't even have the same experience you have." And he would look at me with the most wounded look, and I would be so sad. I was so sulky. I was so upset. And I made a beautiful life miserable. I don't know. Listen, I don't know who I'm talking to here today. I made a beautiful life miserable. And at that Feast of Tabernacles, I felt the presence of God come right to me. And I felt the Lord say, "Angela." And I'm paraphrasing. I don't know if it was an audible voice, a feeling in my heart, my mind, or what it was. But what I felt was the Lord was speaking to me. And he said to me, "Let your husband be who I called him to be. I called him to be that." I don't know why. You would think somebody had been in the ministry who is in her 50s probably would have got it. I didn't. Yeah, he needs to be who God called him to be. Hey! Solved! But I was so shocked. I was so, "Lord, am I fighting your will in my husband's life?" Yes. I sobbed. And sobbed and sobbed. I couldn't, my makeup was everywhere. I don't know if my daughter thought I was dying. No one even would even talk to me. And I said this, and some of us need to say this morning. Listen, I'm sorry, Lord. I am sorry that I've tried to make my husband be who I think he should be. I've been fighting you. And some of you have been saying, Lord, you're blaming God for where you're at. You're blaming God for the things that have happened in your life. And maybe never even thanking him for the good things. We blame him. And we don't even realize that we're blaming God. You know, this is a serious thing. I didn't realize. And when I did, I thought I was going to die, literally. And then in the midst of my sorrow and repentance, the Lord spoke something to my heart. And he said, now I'm going to tell you why you feel the way that you do. I've called you to be a minister, to support your husband, but you have a calling as a minister. As a pastor, I don't know why I saw things the way I did. I thought it was so I can torture him. But really it was. I owe you big time. In the midst of my brokenness, finally the Lord revealed why I was on all the roads I had been on, why I felt the way I did, why I was getting the training that he wanted me to have. And not one road I had been on had been wasted, even though they'd been a privilege. Some of them had been sorrowful. But he said, now I want you to prepare to be a minister. I want you to go through the credentialing process. Because, and I had not thought of that. It would fly by my mind sometime, but I just would like, oh, he said, I want you to go through the process. As a woman in ministry, I want you to be prepared. I want you to support your husband, but I want you to prepare. And finally, I saw the dots. I started to see this wasn't random. That God had called me. I didn't even know the feelings, the longings, the insights, the desires that I had in my heart. Why were they there? Why, Lord? Why am I sitting on the ministry of people who are less mature than me? Why am I doing so many administrative things that I really don't enjoy doing? Who am I talking to this morning? What are you saying to the Lord? Lord, why am I here? Why am I going through this? This doesn't make any sense with what I thought you were saying to me. But one moment in his presence and letting him connect the dots makes all the difference in the world. And I went through the credentialing process from certified to licensed to be ordained. And it's been an amazing journey. Not easy, but today we stand as your pastors united together because God called us. We didn't just decide to be pastors. We didn't just decide to do the messy one and go the different ways. I've done that. But this time, it's like God unfolded step by step by step. He brings us to New York and then back to Orlando and back to you as catalyst. And that's why I'm here to say God doesn't do random. And Brother Joe, would you just come up a minute? I'm going to ask my husband really to close. But the first step is if you have not made Jesus your first personal savior, the dot to dot you're following is not his. That's the first step. It's critical to know that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he is God's son, that he died for our sins and he rose from the dead, and now he lives at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. Yes, he is our healer. Yes, he is our guide. Yes, he is our portion, but he is my savior. He takes the wheel. That's the first step. But to you who have already made that decision, God is doing something in your life. It's sketchy. There's a lot of points that don't seem to make sense. There's a lot of cutting edges on this. You know, I saw it. Like sometimes it was flowing and sometimes it would just... I don't know what this is. God, I don't know what my life is. And even as a Christian, God brought you here today to hear this. Even my friends that are suffering or going through difficult times. I think of our loved ones in this church that we've been praying for. We're not making light of what you've gone through. You who are at jobs where you're being persecuted and going through so much. It's not that God has forgotten you. It's not that he's not moving forward. But all you could see right now is the next step. But believe me, he's going somewhere. Your life is going somewhere. And if for some reason you've gotten anxious and worried and off track and you've decided to take it in your own hands, this is a day to get back on track. This is a day to get back into his presence and say, God, I don't honestly know. I didn't know how things were going to work out in my life. When God came to me that day at the Feast of Tabernacles, it's been a journey. We've done many, many things in between. And I'm studying and learning and taking tests and different things, but it's all part of the bigger picture. I guess that's the word for you today. Where you're at is not a dead end. It's all part of the bigger picture of what God is doing in your life.